In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Big show for us today as week number two gets going in the National Football League. And that's always fun. We like it. And I don't want to sound like a coach. I don't want to sound like a player. I can't wait till they get back on the field and either put to rest a terrible game against the Dallas Cowboys or, Andy, raise the flag of concern by going to Jacksonville and looking like they looked against Dallas.
I think there's concern. You have to have concern based on just left tackle alone. The offensive line didn't look good. And so if you are or you're coming back with that same kind of offensive line this week without Jack Conklin, without Jed Wills, which I'm hoping at least one of those guys is back this week, there is going to be a level of concern. Panic? No. Concern? Yes.
Concern?
Yeah. I'm all concerned.
Right. Just left tackle? Is that the concern?
No, I think there's more to it than that. I got to be honest. I wonder what's floating around inside Deshaun's head right now. He's had a rough run. I mean, and some of it is self-inflicted. Let's be honest. I mean, he's got a lawsuit sitting there in front of him now that he just found out about this week. Who knows how that affects.
Perhaps self-inflicted.
Well,
yeah,
that's true.
Let's be fair.
Well, there's no way that doesn't take its toll. Whether it's self-inflicted or not, there's just no way. When someone's accusing you of something, you got to believe it's going to take its toll on your soul a little bit, don't you think?
I would think so, yes.
Yeah, that on top of the fact that, you know, no matter what his relationship was with his father, he passed away last week. And then you lose a teammate that was killed in a shooting that went to Clemson with him. I mean, those are all things that are...
sacked six times by the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I mean, there's the football part of it, too. So I don't know how some of those things can't... He's human. He's human, so I got to think that some of those things have to be floating around and taking up space between his ears.
What do you think? What do you think is the real deal? Do you think the performance against Dallas is a real indicator of where this team is?
No, I
don't, and I'm not going to freak out about one game. But you go to Jacksonville and you lay another egg, you've got a problem.
Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that Dallas is really good and that we underestimated the way they would play. We thought that the Browns would be able to run the ball. That didn't happen. We thought the Browns defense would be able to get off the field. That didn't happen. You know, all of those concerns are there. And I think when I turn around in week five or week six and go, man, remember what happened in that Dallas game in the beginning? They were really good. Dallas was really good. And I think sometimes we don't have perspective because there's no depth there. There's only one game to look at. And you're going to sit there and you're going to harp on that one game over and over and over again. They weren't ready. The coaching staff wasn't ready. They were not prepared for that game on Sunday. Dallas was 100% ready, focused, and ready to, you know, take down the Browns. And that's what they did. I don't feel like the Browns were there.
I looked up something yesterday because I just the game has always stuck in my head. And it was Bud Carson's debut as head coach of the Browns. A 51-0 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
And I looked up because I thought, okay, the Browns game wasn't that bad this week against Dallas. And I just thought I'd check a couple things out. Steelers under Chuck Knoll lost 51-0. Next week, they lost to the Bengals 41-10. And the Steelers made the playoffs that year. After losing 51-0 in their first game, and 41-10 in their second game. They made the playoffs. They won a playoff game. They lost to Denver in the second round. Browns lost to Denver in the playoffs as well, eventually. But Bud Carson got him into the playoffs. But Pittsburgh, after such a debacle, and it's not, that's nothing about Pittsburgh or anything else. It's just, okay, that's one game. It could be just horrendous. But you better right the ship quickly enough. If they go to Jacksonville, Andy, and play well and lose, okay, you're 0-2. Now you go win some games and you get back on track. If you go to Jacksonville, play well and win, great. Then that's, you know, mission accomplished. If you go to Jacksonville and you look as discombobulated and as poor all the way around as you looked against Dallas, then you've got some issues.
There are two things that I kind of look at. You know, one, and I know it's a different sport, so I'll never, ever forget, and it's just burned into my mind, and it was even more burned into my mind this year because it was an anniversary year for it, but when the Indians beat the Yankees 22-0, and which was one of the best games, one of the most fun games I think I've ever seen live in person, right? And Omar has six hits. Jake Westbrook pitches unbelievable. I mean, they couldn't do anything wrong. But what leaves a sting in my mind is they lost the series. So, you know, they won that little battle that first night, and then they lost the series. And so, to me, it's a big picture perspective, I think, on sports sometimes. You know, hey, Cy Young lost 315 games, right? And he has an award named after him. So mistakes happen. Bad things happen every once in a while. And I think that's just the way you have to look at sports. So I'm just kind of hoping that Dallas is really good and that they just came out of the chute, ready to play, and we didn't.
Abner's on West Boulevard. What's up, Abner?
Abner!
Hi, guys. Sorry if you hear my Rottweilers. Their names are Watson Sucks. But I got a couple points I want to make, guys. Just a reminder of how good Deshaun Watson used to be. C.J. Stroud, who's a great quarterback, wasn't even near Watson when he was in Houston. I'm looking at articles right now. When the Texans drafted Watson, there was an article saying, if you pass up on Watson, it's like passing up on Michael Jordan. So this is how good Watson was. So it's a tragedy.
Oh, he was very good in Houston, Abner. There's no question.
Abner, what's the lesson here? Don't trust the media. That's what I say. Don't trust the media.
Okay, but no, he was very good. And a couple things I want to say, guys. This is going to screw us over very bad in the near future. And as much as I hate to say it, because I love Myles Garrett, I think we should explore the avenue of trading him for a few picks. Because this team is going to be in deep rebuild mode. Cooper's going to be gone next year. As much as I hate to say it, Garrett is in his prime, but he only has a few good years of holding that peak level because he's 28. He's about to turn 29.
If they can afford him, there's no reason to trade him. There's none. Why would you trade the – why would you chase having the best defensive player in the league?
Or one of them.
Yeah, why would you chase that? If he's on your roster now, I just don't see it, Abner. I don't see trading him. Not now, at least.
This is why. Okay. Because I do not trust the Browns drafting a quarterback or getting a quarterback. History repeats itself, and since the Haslam's on them, it's been horrible, horrible. So I don't trust them. We just need to get an average quarterback at least, which is something we should be able to do, and go from there because we need to recuperate from what we've done with Watson. And it's really bad, man. People keep saying it's just 1 week. No, it's been 3 years. And it's been horrible. Absolutely horrible. Right, gentlemen?
Wait, did we not make the playoffs last year? Where have you been since 99? We've made the playoffs three times. I don't think, even though they didn't play well in that game, that didn't feel horrible to me. I enjoyed that playoff game.
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
I ask you this just then?
Yeah.
If I were to tell you, hey, give me the top five worst franchises of the 21st century, the Browns would be in that list, and I think they'd be towards the top three of that list. Would you agree?
I don't know. It depends on what we're talking about.
Abner, thank you.
Yeah.
And that might be accurate, but guess what? That's in the past.
Yeah, the one-win season doesn't help. The no-win season.
No, India, it's been a terrible run, except guess what? It's been a pretty good run under Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry.
Would he turn around and say the Guardians are one of the best franchises?
Well, I would think so. It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Patrick is in Hudson, home of the Explorers, and Dante Lavelli.
Oh, good one.
Hello, Patrick.
Good one.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to say I read a very well-written article yesterday on Sports Illustrated, and it really just laid out exactly how his contract and the verbiage of it and exactly what the Browns would have if they would have his guarantee money be null and void. And I just find the whole thing with all the timing of everything, he lays an egg week one, and now all of a sudden there's this brand-new allegation out that is far worse than any other allegation that came out before. And it just almost seems like the Browns have something in their back pocket that if this Watson thing doesn't work out, now all of a sudden they have an out for it. And I'm also curious if, I know Wednesday all quarterbacks are expected to talk to media, correct?
At least one of the days.
That's the word.
At least one. They have to speak.
Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, honestly, I would be shocked if the Browns let him talk to the media this week. I just think that he's never been.
It's a fine if they don't, if he's a starting quarterback.
And I think that they'll allow that fine to happen because the guy can't talk to media, especially when it comes to all the situations that he seems to put himself in. And I don't know, honestly, if I'm a betting man, I'd be shocked if he actually plays on Sunday. I think that something big is going to pop off with this.
All right, Patrick.
Hey, you never know.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't play on Sunday.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't talk to the media. He's just going to give you bland answers. I'd love to talk about it. Can't talk about it. He's already been down this road. He knows how to play that game. He knows what he's doing.
Browns had to make a bunch of moves today. They've made a move that I think is a sharp move. We'll talk about that again. Is the Dallas game a blip on the radar screen, or is that indicative of what we're going to see? I'm going with blip. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan. A dynamic talent who's flashed big playability but never been able to consistently produce. That's the way Grant Gordon of NFL.com described the wide receiver the Browns just signed to their practice squad, Kadarius Toney. I think that's a perfect summation of Kadarius Toney. A dynamic talent who's flashed big playability but never been able to consistently produce.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I like the move. Why? Okay, you got a guy who maybe you can coach him up and other teams couldn't. I don't know if that's true or not. Kansas City brought him in thinking he'd be a perfect complement to go with their receiving core for Patrick Mahomes. That didn't work.
It did seem like it. I didn't think it was a bad idea there either.
No, I thought it was a great idea for them.
Yeah.
He was drafted by the Giants, first round pick, really had only one good year at Florida as a receiver. So there was a little bit of a reach maybe by the Giants on that.
Mm-hmm.
And he has shown big playability. If I'm the Browns, I like the move for a number of reasons. And it's not the player as much as it is the move. Because Dan has said he's had trouble catching the football. Guess right. Dan's right. Dan's right. If he didn't, he'd be a Kansas City Chief right now. But you bring in a talented guy to a position group that I think needs some help. And you have two of your top three wide receivers who are going to be free agents at the end of the year. If Elijah Moore doesn't produce to your level, what you're thinking of, good. You don't need to bring him back. Maybe Kadarius Toney can work his way into being the number two or three receiver on this team. Amari Cooper's a free agent at the end of next year. All right, Andy, you brought in a guy who had first-round talent.
Yep.
And maybe you can coach him up. I just think it's a really sharp, good move by the Browns that might not work out. It might not work, but it's the kind of move that you take a chance on and you see what happens. I commend them for that.
I have no problem with the move at all, especially if you're going practice squad on him and you don't know exactly what you have. Could he be better than Jalen Darden? Yeah, maybe. I mean, is he going to be better than Jamari Thrash? That's what he has to be to break the top six.
Could he be better than Elijah Moore?
Yeah, could he? I don't know. I don't know at this point. And they're not walking away from Jerry Jeudy. They're not walking away from Amari Cooper right now. I just think that the way you're kind of looking at it, and I see what you see in this long-term plan of, hey, young receiver, if we can fix him, maybe we can, you know, he'd be like atypical Guardians reclamation project that ends up turning out to be something special.
Or if he just becomes a dynamic return guy for you.
Right.
Somebody you can put on the offense and he becomes a gadget player for you. He's running jet sweeps. He's doing other things.
I'm just not looking at him saying, okay, Amari Cooper's contract's up at the end of the year, and I don't know where I'm going with that. I'm not looking for Amari's replacement today. And and maybe that could happen. Maybe you put the needle in the haystack and all of a sudden find it a little bit later if he turns out to be something. But at this point, I'm not willing to look at him as a super long-term solution for any of our frontline wide receivers who are up at the end of the year with their contract. I just think he's in a good spot right now. They got him on the practice squad if they need him and they want to elevate him for a game day. Let's see what happens. Don't forget, Joe Flacco was on the practice squad every week during the regular season, wasn't he? Until they had to leave him up on the regular roster. So
I agree with you.
They could continue to bring him up and down.
I agree with you. I'm not thinking right now Kadarius Toney is a replacement for Elijah Moore or Amari Cooper for next year. But what I am thinking is I think this skill position group can use some extra talent. And maybe you just added a guy.
When have we not looked at our skill position?
It's worth a look.
Jeff, I can't ever remember in the 13 years we've been on the air not ever looking at the wide receiving core going, you know, they're good. They don't need any more.
The only time I thought they were in pretty good shape, Odell, Jarvis. I thought that was going to be pretty good.
Yeah, and before that, I would have said Jarvicious and Winslow and Braylon Edwards.
And that's going back a ways.
Yeah, that's before we were in the air.
And that's going back a ways. Josh is in the hometown of Don Shula, Grand River. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Well, it's still morning.
It's all right.
No, so I'm not going to sit here and run Deshaun out of town. I'm going to place the blame on our coaches and ownership, knowing that our tackles and our O-line wasn't going to be potentially ready for the season. They should have done more to get Deshaun protection. And then the other thing I kind of want to focus on is...
Josh, the only thing I'll say about that is this. You didn't have two starting tackles who were coming back from surgery, and the third starting tackle was coming back from surgery as well, and DeJuan Jones. I think they think they're good at offensive line, but those guys weren't ready to go yet. I actually like the depth on their offensive line, except two guys weren't able to go in game one.
Yes, I agree with that. It's just I wish that I wish they would have done more, and then I kind of feel like the rust from Deshaun has to do with his rehab and throwing a towel versus throwing a football. He did not have that eyesight down the field, but he also didn't have that eyesight because he didn't have that protection. I'm not saying it's an end-all, be-all, but we got to do better.
Agreed. What else, Josh?
That's it. That's all I have for you, gentlemen.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much. Josh from Grand River. That's why I look at the Dallas game, Andy. You didn't have your tackles. Dallas has a great defense. Deshaun's first game back. Didn't play in the preseason. No Nick Chubb. Blah, 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 blah. Dallas' defense really good. I'm going blip on the radar for this one. One game does not mean your season doesn't mean your team's not good. Let's just see a good performance against Jacksonville. And I'm not kidding. You lose, but you play pretty well. Okay. Might be an uphill battle, but okay. But if you go to Jacksonville and you do not look good and your offense looks discombobulated and your defense gives up a couple of big drives early when you're trying to like reel in the game, you got a problem. And we'll see what happens on Sunday.
I'm not ready to they need to win this week, especially after last week. I just think it's mental more than anything. And, you know, I know 0-2 isn't the worst thing ever. 0-4 is. But they need to win this week. They just didn't – preparation, man. They didn't have any preparation last week. It just didn't look right. And, you know, if he's talking about – the last caller talking about Deshaun just not being in rhythm from throwing, well, whose fault is that? That's they didn't get enough work in during practice, or they didn't give him the opportunity to go out there during a preseason game and just have one, even just one drive. Again, I didn't care if he played in the preseason or not, but to me, watching him that first week, he wasn't ready. He just wasn't.
But
there could have been other things going on top of the football. So.
Okay, that's true. But once you go on the football field, I'm sorry, you got to go. You know, if not, then put the other guy in. I mean, you have players who can play. So if there was an issue, okay. But if you put a guy in the game, end of story. I don't want to hear anything more.
I agree.
I know there might have been issues. Okay, if there were issues, then sit him and put Jameis in the game.
Agree.
That's.
But they didn't want to do that. I mean, Kevin didn't want to do that at the end of the game when they were down touchdowns.
Okay, then that's fine. But then I don't want to hear about all the other stuff that might have been weighing on his head. And I get it. Except if that's the case, then don't play him. Play Jameis. I mean, part of me thinks that you don't want to put Jameis in the game, and you wouldn't. I mean, if Deshaun's good to go, he's your starting quarterback. But if Jameis goes in and plays well, then you got a whole different story. That's not a thing that might work. So we'll see.
Hmm.
You know,
other concerns for this week. I mean,
defense has to be better.
Yeah.
Defense has to be better. They gave up the two long scoring drives in the first half when you kind of needed them to set a tone, Andy, and they didn't do it.
I'll buy it. But it was just, it was a 20 to 10 minute wise. So it was 2-1 by the end of the first half when you look at how long they were on the field. You're not putting your defense in a good position. How come we never say the offense was out on the field too long, too? That's a good how come quickie. I don't know.
Because you want the offense out on the field.
I know, but do you ever think, oh, man, the offense has to be tired?
No.
We don't ever say that, right?
No.
Let's take two more.
Thank you. Yeah. Maybe because the offense knows where the ball's going and the defense doesn't, and that tires you out even more. It's the mental reps.
I don't know. The idea is to control the football. Well, if your defense is on the field, you're not controlling the football. That's why.
But they're still playing the same equal amount of plays.
All right.
Thank you. Well, know what? I've never heard anybody go, oh, the offense was just on the field too much. They're gassed. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say that. Have you?
How come we never heard of a crafty righty?
Let's take two more.
Oh, that's a good point. How come painters wear white painters pants? I don't understand. I saw that this morning. That was my Phelps moment.
Les, love you. We're not going down your... That's your shtick.
Why is it the painters do that, though? I don't understand. Why would you want to wear white pants as a painter?
How come the person who serves us is called a waiter when really we're the ones who are waiting?
Oh, good job.
Let's take two more.
You walked us down the road, buddy. You're the leader. You left us there.
I didn't. You guys took it and you turned left.
Do you have another one?
No.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
But we put our blinker on. We're polite.
That's
the problem is, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are actually a pretty good team.
How come they're Jaguars and not Jaguars? That drives me crazy, too, by the way. I can't stand when people... Jaguars. Doesn't that... That's right? That doesn't bother you at all? That's who we're playing this week. I'm talking
they
about
They didn't play real well last week. They're going to be ready, and I think they're pretty good.
Which team is that?
The Jaguars.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
I don't say Jaguar.
No, but like I'll hear it in spots, everyone. The Browns taking it out of the Jaguars. Why? Is that what they are? Jaguars?
Jaguar.
No more? Are we done? Anyone? Dig? Do you have a how come quickie? Okay. Just want to make sure. We're paying tribute to Les Levine. And thank you.
On behalf of the entire audience here, Tim, I'd like to say poppycock.
Okay.
He's haunting you right now.
No, I'm it's just like I'm working with Les. I'm trying to go somewhere and he's all of
He's here. He's channeling us.
I hope our social media department grabs nothing but just the one camera pointed at Jeff during this entire thing. Just don't show Andy. Just nothing but Jeff's exasperated face.
So I'm working with Les one day.
Oh, here comes the last story now.
Well, we're going to break in 30 seconds.
Okay.
I lay out this whole thing. You're not here. And we're talking Browns, right? We're talking Browns.
Oh, I know what's going
on. And I lay the whole thing out. I put it on a tee for him. All he's got to do is take the swing and hit it deep. And it's all Browns. Boom, there it is. And he said, why do you think the Indians don't have a left-hander in the bullpen? Oh, my God. Robert Mays works for The Athletic. He's their senior NFL writer. His podcast, The Athletic Football Show. Robert, big-time national NFL guy. He's next on Baskin and Phelps.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.